Hello, and welcome to the Public School Matters podcast presented by the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. I'm Catherine Joyce, NCASA's Executive Director, and joining me, as she does each week, is Legal Affairs and Policy Manager Elizabeth Yelverton. Together, we talk about legislative and policy news affecting our public schools.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. This week, we are so excited to be joined by two amazing guests who are going to help us understand a new proposal being developed to reform teacher pay and licensure in North Carolina. Now, this proposal is known as Pathways to Excellence, and if you tuned into our recent interview with State Superintendent Catherine Truitt, you may recognize it as the same model we discussed with her.
This week, we hope to dig a bit deeper into that proposal by hearing directly from two of the key folks overseeing its development. Most of their work on this model is being done through an advisory board to our State Board of Education called the Professional Educator Preparation and Standards Commission, or PEPSC, as we commonly call it. We are pleased to have with us Dr. Patrick Miller, PEPSC's chairman, and Maureen Stover, who is North Carolina's 2020 Burroughs Welcome Teacher of the Year. Welcome, Patrick and Maureen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
So thanks again for joining us today. And to start off our discussion, can you each tell us a bit about how you're personally involved with this Pathways to Excellence model?
Sure, I'll begin. This is Patrick Miller. As Catherine said, I'm the chair of PEPSC, and as chair, I am responsible for the work that is going on in the subcommittees as we work to develop this outcomes-based licensure model. As many of you know, the Human Capital Roundtable, which started about 3 years ago, worked on this model along with a couple of other things, and in February of 2021 made a presentation of the vision of this model to the State Board of Education. At that time, the State Board of Education remanded this work to PEPSC to flesh out the model. And so for the past year and a half or so, that's exactly what's been going on. The four subcommittees have been meeting. And Maureen serves as a co-chair of the Advancement and Development Subcommittee, and I will turn it over to her and let her speak.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. I am Maureen Stover, and I started working on this about a year and a half ago. And my role in doing that work is, number one, to serve as a teacher leader, as a practicing classroom teacher who is working on the subcommittees. And really to elevate and highlight the teacher voice, because from the very beginning of this project, we've known that it's critically important that we include the voice and perspective from the field. And so by including me as one of the co-chairs and a teacher on the licensure committee, we ensured that we had that teacher voice. I've also had the opportunity to work with the superintendent's advisor for teacher engagement, Ms. Julie Pittman, on reaching out to the field and conducting some feedback sessions where we've been able to gather some really good information and feedback about some of the concerns and some of the things that teachers really like about the Pathways to Excellence model, and then to be able to bring those back to the subcommittees so that the teacher voice is included in the work that each of the subcommittees is doing.
Well, thank you guys both for shedding some light on some of the background of this model. And as someone who tunes into a lot of the PEPSC live streams, I think it's really nice to learn from both of you about your connections with this work. But I know our listeners probably also need to know a little bit more exactly about how this model got started and just what exactly it is. Patrick, could you help us out a little bit with that background?
The Pathways to Excellence model is an outcomes-based licensure model. In our current system, we have an input-based licensure model. There is one and only one pathway to licensure, and that's through the licensure exam. So we wanted to create a model that features multiple pathways that teachers could choose for licensure. The draft model we are currently working on also lends itself well to paying teachers more much earlier in their careers. This work began about 3 years ago as part of the Human Capital Roundtable that was facilitated by SREB, and funded by the Belt Foundation and the Gates Foundation.
Well, thanks, Patrick. That's a very helpful introduction. And I think maybe to expand a bit more, can you tell us some of the highlights of the proposal and how it can specifically impact the teaching profession in North Carolina?
Sure. First, we propose to open the gates to the profession wide so that anyone with a bachelor's degree can enter. What we now call the initial professional license would have multiple layers of licensure and support, including a new apprentice level that could open the door for EPP interns to be paid as they complete the internship. Licenses 1, 2, and 3 would also come with professional advancement accounts that teachers could use to personalize their professional learning and help them advance to the next level of licensure. A license 1 teacher would start at $38,000 in this proposal. License 2 would start at $40,000. License 3, which is where most of the candidates who complete the traditional EPP pathway would start, at $45,000, which is $10,000 more than they currently would. And between year 3 and 5, they could be at $56,000, which is unattainable until year 25 or so on the current scale. And this is without local supplement and without the national board supplement. So after 30 years, not counting those local supplements or the national board supplement, a teacher should be making well over $80,000. Now, license 4 is very comparable to the current continuing professional license, and that's where most teachers would land, just like they are today. But from there, we have recommended 2 new positions for the legislature to fund that would allow teachers to demonstrate leadership without having to leave the classroom: an advanced teaching role position, which is called classroom excellence, and then there's an adult leadership position that would work with the teachers to help them increase their effectiveness. Maureen, anything you'd like to add there?
You know, one of the real goals of this model is to be able to design some different pathways into licensure. And one thing that I really want to emphasize is that as we're talking about finding these different pathways to enter the teaching career field, we by no means mean that we are reducing any of the standards. We are still going to have highly effective practitioners in our classrooms. We are not going to allow teachers to come in who are not going to be good teachers and do great things with our kids, but we're just looking for different ways to bring people into the teaching profession. And so under this new model, those teachers who come in those alternative pathways into licensure with a bachelor's degree, and teachers who are co-teaching in their beginning years as a license 1 teacher will also have a bachelor's degree. There will not be people in classrooms who do not have a bachelor's degree teaching children. We're looking to find different ways to help support those teachers through a very robust teaching support system that is equitable across our state.
Well, that does sound to be improvement on the model that we currently have. And we know that we are in dire need of teachers in many districts. So hopefully this model will be able to help us with that. But we also know that anytime in education that you rock the boat, come up with a new idea, there's going to be some proponents and some critics on each side. And we know that the feedback on the model has been a little somewhat mixed so far. Maureen, since you and your teaching colleagues would be the ones directly impacted by this model, can you talk a bit about the positives you're hearing from teachers, but maybe also a few of the concerns?
Yes. So one of the things that teachers really love about this model is that it gives them more autonomy to really tell the story of what is happening in their classroom. So right now, as a teacher, I have very few ways that I'm able to demonstrate my effectiveness that are accepted by the state. And really, the number one way that we demonstrate our effectiveness today is through EVOS scores. But many of my colleagues who are not teaching an EOC course at the high school level don't get any effectiveness data. We also are able to to look at ways in the middle school and elementary school. Many of the teachers there do receive EVA scores because they do have the end of grade reading and math tests through the eighth grade. But that doesn't really tell the story of a teacher, and that doesn't tell the story of the kids in that classroom. And so one of the really great things that we're hearing from teachers is that they love this idea that they will now have a choice on how they demonstrate their effectiveness. So if their EVA scores are high, that's great. They can use their EVA scores. But if their EVA scores come back and don't truly demonstrate the greatness of their kids in their classroom that year, they'll have the option to use a different method. So there's also what's called the peer review, and that's the practical educator evaluation. And those would be given multiple times throughout a semester, which would give the teacher the opportunity to identify trends in their classroom and then make adjustments in their teaching practice to meet the needs of the students in their classroom. There would also be a principal evaluation, and which would be very similar to the principal evaluations that we currently receive as teachers. And then there would also be a peer evaluation, or an adult leader teacher would come into classrooms and would be giving the evaluation. One of the things that I think is really important to note about that peer evaluation is that the teachers who are adult leaders would be trained in giving the evaluations, and they would be calibrated in their evaluations. So if I, Ms. Stover, always evaluate very high, and my colleague, Dr. Miller, evaluates lower, that would be calibrated so that the teacher would not be hurt if they have a teacher or a fellow colleague or an adult leadership teacher that consistently scores lower. And again, that would be done by multiple adult leaders in your building. So you would be getting lots of really good feedback from teachers in your building who are going to be working with you to help you identify spaces within your teaching practice where you have opportunities to grow. Another thing that teachers really like about this is the restructured pay model. So under this model, a fourth teacher currently makes about $36,000 a year. And under this model, that fourth year teacher would make $56,000 a year. That is a huge difference. And right now, if you have a 30-year teacher with a master's degree, they would make cap out at, I think, and Dr. Miller can correct me if I have this number wrong, but I think it's like $52,800. And under this model, that teacher at 30 years would have the potential to far exceed $80,000 without the additional supplement for the National Board Certified Teacher, or if they are grandfathered in for a master's degree. So this really changes the landscape of what we're paying teachers in North Carolina, and teachers really like that as well. We have also gotten some negative feedback, and we truly invite that negative feedback because we understand that it's really, really important to know and understand what teachers are feeling and the ideas that teachers have around this model and where they see there might be some push points. And so many of our teachers are concerned about the peer evaluation because they're worried about what their kids would say about them. Like, you know, I'm putting my career and my licensure in the hands of students that, you know, maybe they don't like me because I am a really strict teacher, or maybe they don't like me because I took away their cell phone last week. And I think that those are real valid concerns. And so we need to do a better job of really building out an example of what those student surveys are and demonstrating how those student surveys would not be used as a metric to keep teachers out of the classroom. It would be used as a metric to help teachers understand what they need to do to better meet the needs of their kids. There's also a lot of concern over the peer evaluations or the adult leadership peer evaluations, because teachers are worried that, like, let's say I took somebody's assigned parking spot on Monday, and then they come in and give me an observation. Are they going to give me a low observation because of that? And the answer hopefully would be no. But I do understand where there are some teachers that have concerns over that. And that's why we've also looked at making sure there would be multiple people doing those observations for teachers. It wouldn't be based on one person's one observation. And really, I think something that's very important to highlight is that we are not looking in any way, shape, or form to find a way to get teachers out of the classroom and exit them from the profession. We are looking for ways for teachers to have more opportunities to tell the story of who they are and who their kids are in their classroom. And I think a lot of teachers are excited about that piece of being able to tell their story and being able to tell the story of the kids who they teach and the greatness of the kids that they teach.
We have done a fairly extensive amount of feedback gathering. As you heard Ms. Stover say, she and Julie Pittman from DPI recently conducted a series of virtual feedback sessions with teachers across the state. In addition, I and other members of PEPC and the DPI support staff have presented far and wide, from meetings of PANC, which are the human resource directors across the state. Tom Tomberlin and I presented at the summer school board meeting down in Carolina Beach, and there have been others. There are also some education-friendly agencies out there, such as the Public School Forum, that have conducted focus groups and have published the feedback that they have received. So we're looking at all of that feedback. We need to hear the critical concerns. Don't just throw rocks. Help us improve the model, because we want this, if it's going to be something that eventually becomes policy in the state, to be the very best that it can be. And we have an email set up at DPI to receive feedback from anyone. And I'll tell you what that is. It's pathways.feedback@dpi.nc.gov. And please, please use that email address to send us suggestions for improving this model. I know there's a lot of skepticism out in the field that everybody seems to think that this is a done deal. It is not a done deal. There is still time to submit feedback for the subcommittees to consider before PEPC will be asked to vote on the full model. If and when that model passes PEPC, it will then move to the state board for their consideration. And several things can happen with the state board. They can vote to pass the model as it is. They can send it back to PEPC and ask them to make some specific changes to the model, or they can vote it out or vote it down, either way. But if the state board agrees on the model and votes it out, of course, it would then head to the General Assembly for their consideration. And a policy lift like this, which is monstrous, is usually considered by the General Assembly only during long sessions. So our hope is that the model is ready for the General Assembly to consider starting in January of 2023. If not, it will likely be January 2025 before they would take it up. Regardless, we are years away, of course, if ever, from any statewide implementation.
This plan still has a long way to go, and we do appreciate you sharing that email address for our listeners to be able to provide additional feedback if they'd like to. And because this model is so important to the school leaders that we serve at NCASA, I know that we'll also be closely following any changes to the model and the next steps that occur with this model.
Indeed, we will, Elizabeth. And on behalf of NCASA, Patrick and Maureen, I'd like to say thank you for taking time out of what is supposed to be some downtime for you both, but to come in and talk with us about this model and what's ahead for it in the coming months. We certainly appreciate your time, expertise, and your leadership on something that is so important for public schools in North Carolina.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us on this morning.
Absolutely. And this pay and licensure model for teachers is just one of the big policy proposals that we at NCASA are following for our school leader members. And remember, our goal with this podcast is to share timely information on all the key legislation and policy news affecting our public schools. So to keep up with NCASA, visit our website, ncasa.net, follow us on Twitter at NCASA Tweets, or reach out to the NCASA team directly by emailing info@ncasa.net. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again soon.
You've been listening to Public School Matters with the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. to stay up to date on legislation and policy news affecting K-12 education, we hope you'll join us for future episodes and subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for helping us ensure that each public school in North Carolina matters.